job, buddy. Praise God. That builds up the body. Even when the youngest like that speaks up, God is always with me. A two-year-old just said that to you guys. And that's the body, you know, and edifying itself in love. You know, we're building each other up by that process. Very important that you guys share. Don't feel like you're, because you had sin this past week and you fell short and you crawled in here on your knees. So, man, that's not. Praise God. Speak up. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God is here. He is with us. Amen. He's with you when the rooster's there. He's with you when strange things happen. He's with you when the program doesn't work. He's with you. He is with you. We'll go with that, Asher. And we'll launch into the scripture this morning. As we move through the book of John, we're up to verse 44. Thank you, Jesus. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? How can you believe those that receive honor from one another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Jesus is challenging their belief, and he's telling and speaking truth to them why they're in disbelief. And if we were to title today's sharing of the word, it would be the unbelieving believers or the believers that are unbelieving. There's a combination there. And these are people he's speaking to that have a form of godliness. They go to temple, they go to church. They have some type of belief there, but there's a great stronghold of unbelief as well. So much so that their eyes are blinded to the word, the living word standing in front of them, speaking to them, Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God, sent to mankind, standing in front of them, speaking to them, and their eyes being blind to it. And he's addressing that, saying, how could you believe even? If what your whole life is about is the honor of man, the praise of man, oh, please tell me something good about me. You know, like my picture on Facebook or whatever it is, give me a couple hearts. That's what I live for. I need that. How that is contrary, it goes against our believing in God, because he's the one that gives us the heart that matters. He's the one that gives us the like that ultimately matters. The other ones are distractions, believe me. They're all distractions and they're fleeting. The heart you got yesterday will be a this the next day with man. It'll be a thumbs down. That's how it goes with people, okay? We need to find our approval in the cross through Jesus Christ. He's demonstrated it. It's proven. It's there for you and me. He said, whosoever. I hope you're in that bucket of whosoever, because that's a big bucket that God extended his arms to you and me and said, whosoever believes in me shall not perish but have life eternal. Amen. So let's set aside, as Mindy was talking about, the perishable crowns of those things that we get, the plaques on the walls, the trophies, the plastic things that we get from mankind. Let's set those aside for a minute. They're fun and everything, but let's set those aside and get connected with that holy heart from heaven, the Father's heart that he would just, again, prophesied Friday night, that Maddie, Simeon, Mark, Paul, Gretchen, Terry, everyone in here, Tom, Dick, everyone in here, Cheyenne, everyone in here, everyone, if I didn't call your name is included, that you would have the Father's heart giving it out, because that's where it matters. That these people that are out in our community know that the God of the universe, the God that created them, loves them. Give them that heart. Give them that heart, because that's where their faith is going to rise up and be secure. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, he says, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. They had a form of belief, remember? They're the believing unbelievers. That's the title today. For you had a belief in Moses. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So they had some sort of following Moses, but it wasn't a real belief. But if you believe not this writing, how shall you believe my words? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Last time we were in here, we talked about the testimony of Jesus.
What verse?
What chapter?
Yeah. Oh, am I totally up? Oh, I'm ending chapter 5 there. I'm sorry.
In John?
Yeah.
Sorry, thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, okay. Because you said 6. So we were lost.
Yeah, that was unexpected, actually. Yeah, there's something going on this morning here, and I'm very much just yielding to the Spirit right now and what He wants to teach us. My ears are open to how He's speaking to you guys this morning and the sharing of the Word. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, let's go to where we're supposed to be here. That's going to come into play, though. In verse 44 of chapter 6, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me. So here we are with the testimony of Jesus, why we believe in Jesus Christ. And last time we were talking, this is exactly where we were, and we went back to Isaiah. We went to Isaiah chapter 54. If you remember the testimony of Jesus, that's what he's referring to. The prophecy that all men will be taught. God has given us that gift. He wants to reveal who he is through Jesus Christ. So he teaches us. And the second way he brings us that is through the commandments. The commandments that he gives us is that teaching. And it's like a tutor, it's a school mom that brings us to Christ. All of the law, all of Moses, all of the commandments brings us to Christ. That's a witness of who Jesus Christ. This is why I believe in Jesus Christ, is because there's a moral law that God has given that says do not commit adultery. And I look at that and I have a problem with that. There's a moral law that says do not lie. And when I have the fear of the rooster in my life, and I go gravitate and cling on to a lie, I know there's a problem. That's a tutor, that's a teacher telling me that I need a Savior. Oh, that there would be one that would lay his hand on God and man, and that man and that one is Jesus Christ. There's a teacher that brings us to Jesus. That's a testimony of our need for a Savior. God's provision is Jesus. So he teaches us through his commandments. That's the witness. That is the witness of Jesus Christ, why we believe. And that comes from Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, the schoolmarm, they used to call him, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The second reason being brought out here in this chapter of why I believe in Jesus Christ, why I hold on to Jesus, why I follow him, is that the Father has drawn me. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him. We know there's also a promise in the Scripture that if Jesus be lifted up, that means on the cross, if he be lifted up, we also lift him up in our worship of him, but we're lifting up Jesus that he will draw all men towards him. So we preach the gospel. You hear the gospel over and over and over again. That's very important that we do that. That's part of the Father drawing people. Well, you just talked about the gospel last week. Yeah, we're going to talk about it next week too. You know, we're going to bring the gospel into everywhere we are as we teach the word of God, because we know that's the testimony of the Father drawing people, lifting up the name of Jesus and people being drawn to the Lord. We know that's how it works. And that's part B there. In verse 46, let's keep moving forward here. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he or except he which is of God. He has seen the Father. This word that we're reading, that you're hearing today, I like to call it as the T of God. Jesus Christ is the T of God. In that hot water, we see the integrity. We see the truth being brought out to us. And we're called to take part of that, to drink in this reality of this truth, to take it into our innermost being, this T of God, this truth, this kernel, to bring it in. He is of God. Jesus Christ is of God. Verses 47 through 58. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and their dead passed on. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. If you want to know what not dying means, it means living forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Man, that's quite a trade there. That's what the word redemption is all about. There was a trade that took place. An empty can, the body of Christ was given. He gave his life for us. And the prize that was given, that prize that was spoken of and shared this morning, is the redemption of the world, the life of the world there, the salvation of mankind. Will you step into that this morning? Yeah, I got saved 10 years ago. Step into it again. Step in it as mercies are new every morning. We step into that salvation. It's a helmet we put on. We don't put it up and say, well, I put that helmet on 10 years ago. It's something we wear all the time. It's the covering of Christ over your life. It begins right there on the top of your head, all the way down to your feet. And you're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Head to toe, you're covered. Praise you, Lord God. Man, just the tea. Do you sip it? Do you taste it this morning? Just the flavor of God, the aroma coming from this bread too, filling this room. I'm the living bread. Man, it's delicious. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He gives us all kinds of I ams. I am this. I am this. And at the center of all that is just that. I am. I am the ever-existent one. I am the living bread. Thank you, Lord God. I believe it was Cheyenne read of that fragrance that we're to leave. It's that living bread that's always cooking inside of us. Beautiful smell, beautiful aroma of Christ that we leave as we give the Father's heart to other people around us. That living bread just on that cooling rack, just giving off that aroma all the time. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for these word pictures, these realities that transcend the physical into something so powerful, Lord God, that we're your living bread. We can be that out there, Lord, that fragrance out there, giving glory to you in everything we do, Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the heart of the Father. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. If any man eat of this bread, any man, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove. Here's the believing unbelievers. Here's the reaction. Here's the reaction. Are you a believing unbeliever? There are some sitting here today that I hope don't fall in that camp. A believing unbeliever striving against, you're resisting, all of a sudden a wall goes up when life is being and light is going out. The wall of darkness goes up because of your pride. You know, this is my belief and this is my understanding. And you're in a wall of pride, man. Let that be torn down. Yeah. Don't be a believing unbeliever. Step into complete belief. God, surround me with this light. God, I want to be exposed and vulnerable to your truth this morning. I want to be less of me and more of you. It's getting tough. This is a tough teaching today. They strove with themselves. They were having a hard time with us. How can a man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, man, he is just nothing but truth. He is the truth and nothing but the truth. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, truth, 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 I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, You have no life in you. It's not about some intellectual stimulation. Oh, I think I want to be a Christian because it sounds good, and I can raise my kids up and they'll be good and good citizens and stuff like that. No, that's the believing unbeliever, man. You've got to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ. You've got to consume what he did and said, I need a Savior. I gravitate to adultery. I gravitate to lying. I gravitate to idolatry and the eye candy and the things that are superficial. I gravitate to those things. I need a Savior. Lord, you put eternity in my heart. Roger shared that last night. He read from Ecclesiastes that he's put the universe, he's put the cosmos in man's heart that wouldn't be satisfied with those things. We need you, Jesus. I recognize that, Lord God. I need this bread. I need to eat of it. I need my whole body to be transformed. I need to fall in love with you, Lord God, and follow you, Lord Jesus Christ. You have the words of life. Praise you, Lord God. Whosoever eats my flesh. Jesus was radical. He's radical. He doesn't want me to stand up here and be namby-pamby and be a wimp for Christianity. He wants me to be powerful and speak powerfully because that's how he did. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Bring it inside. Be transformed. Stop being yourself. The world's telling you out there, just be yourself. I'm telling you to let yourself die. Let yourself die. Deny yourself and pick up his cross and follow him. That's what he's speaking of. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. For my flesh is food, it's meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. Isn't it simple that God wants to be in fellowship with us? He wants to be so close to Tom. He wants to be so close to Mark that it's a dwelling inside and out. He wants to dwell. This is the kind of God. He's not standing up there and I'm gonna burn Tom, man. If he makes one more move, I'm going to send that lightning bolt. That's not what it's about. He wants to dwell in Tom. He wants to make Tom his holy temple. He wants to dwell in him, and every crack in his earthen vessel is just pouring out the light of God. That's what it's about. Will you take him in this morning? Or you got an arms pushing away, some kind of arm of pride pushing him away? Be vulnerable to God this morning. Stop being yourself. Deny yourself and follow him. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. This is getting too tough for you guys. I'm just reading the Bible, folks. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eats me. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? The perfect lamb standing before you said, I'm giving my body for you. You're going to eat me. You're going to consume me. You're going to tear his flesh apart. You're going to rip his back apart. And he's going to be consumed for humanity. He knows that. He knows that. He's talking to them. He knows that his body, every part of him is going to be given to the world in exchange for their life. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead and passed on. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples. Here they go. What happens to the believers? The believing unbelievers. They take off. There's maybe a reason this church is very small. Just give it to you straight, folks. We preach the word straight through. We're not catering to man and trying to favor and build big churches. We're preaching the word of God. It's line by line. You're going to hear it again tonight. You're going to hear it again tonight as we gather. The word of God, line by line, is going to come out. And Sunday nights, as that develops, line by line, it's going to come out. Tuesday, when the women meet, line by line. Wednesday, when the men meet, line by line. The word of God. The word of God. Will you eat of it? Is it too tough? Many, therefore, of his disciples, believing unbelievers, when they heard this, said, this is hard. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, does this offend you? Does this bother you? I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to bleed for you. I'm going to let my beard be plucked out for you. Does that bother you? that people are going to, they're going to cast dice to for my garments as I'm watching them naked on a cross? Does that bother you? Does it bother you that the Father loves you this much? What if you should see me ascend up to where I was before? Would that do it? Is that what you need to see? That's what verse 62 says. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Folks, this is the food that we live on. Everything else, the physical stuff, the flesh profits nothing. Profits nothing. But there are some of you that believe not. The believing unbelievers, there it is. Title for today. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Even a disciple of Christ, one of the 12. A believing unbeliever. Hard to believe. He could follow Jesus around for 2-3 years. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it will be given to him by the Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Man, where is it? Oh, I tried Jesus and it didn't work. Folks, you fall into chapter 6:6:6. You fall into the spirit of the Antichrist. You fall into the hole of the devil. At a certain point, I will only go so far with Jesus. You fall into the trappings of the devil. You fall into a very dark place. There are many of his disciples, the believing, that went into unbelief and stopped following him. Walked with him no more. Maddie shared about walking with him. Simeon shared about sitting with him. I shared about standing with him on Friday night as we did our tent meeting. Praise God for that. Let's continue to walk with him. Let's decide right now that no matter what, deception comes and it will, no matter what curveballs come and they will, no matter what tribulation comes, we are going to follow Jesus. Don't get that rid of that thing you got in your pocket. It's a little bit of doubt that's like, if Jesus doesn't work, I'm just going to drop it off here. I'm just going to drop it out here. There is no plan B. Get rid of it, man. Chuck it out. There's no plan B. There's only one, following Jesus Christ. Stop with the plan B. Some of you are holding on to it in here. Well, if it doesn't work, I'll go back to fishing, the disciples said. They did. If it doesn't work with Jesus, we'll just go back to what we know how to do. Well, I can always fall back on doing this. I can always go back into the beer. I'm always going to go back into this. The rock and roll, whatever it was. No, man, sever that. Man, sever that. Read Acts 19 or wherever it was in Acts, man, where they severed the lifeboats. Said, you will die on the ship unless you cut those lifeboats. If you're holding on to the hope of man, any kind of strength of man, cut it off today. It's only one plan, and that's to follow him. Cut off everything. Deny yourself and follow him. Don't be a Judas. Don't be one of these disciples that stopped believing, that had a threshold where they said, that's enough. This is too tough. I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore. Keep your hand on the plow. God has called you. Each one in here has a purpose. Amen. Maybe it's one person. Maybe it's 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. God has called you with a purpose. What a beautiful response from Simon Peter. Many going back, you could kind of picture that in your mind now, the flock kind of separating, many just kind of stepping back. Backsliding, you want to know where that is in the Bible? There it is. Walking with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, man, I want to be there. I want to be in verse 67, man. I want to rise out of 66. I don't want to go there. I want to go on 67. I want to hear this question. Jesus, ask it to me, man. Ask it to me. Will you also go that way? Will you go that way, Paul, when it gets tough? When it gets tough, when there's things that happen that you can't explain? When a child dies or something happens, when a hurricane comes, when things happen that you can't explain? Are you going to go that way, Paul? Lord, ask me that question. Please ask me that question. Because in that question, I know there's power. Not my own, but yours. I'm going to step in that red ink this morning. I'm going to say what Peter said. Lord, you have the words of life. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to where shall we go? I'm not going to follow the herd of chickens. I'm not going to follow them, Lord God. You have the words of eternal life. Then Simon Peter answered him in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. The Christ, the Savior of the world, the gift of God, the grace of God, the one that always existed with God, given to mankind, became man, became sin, became my sin, became my adultery, became my lies, became my covetousness, became my dirtiness, all of it, and declared me to be clean. All he's asked me to do is step into that, to wear this holiness, to wear that helmet, to wear all the clothing of Christ all over my body and to be transformed as I do. It's like a surgeon sheet that passes over you and the surgery takes place underneath. As we're covered in Christ, man, we're transformed from a creature within. All things become new. We're a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And Simon Peter said, where shall we go? We believe you're the Christ. Jesus answered, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was him that would betray him, being one of the 12. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's open again on chapter 7 here. Thank you, Lord. Let me just introduce you to some thoughts about chapter 7 here. Prep you for next week. We're going to talk about the season that is upon us, which is the Thanksgiving, Christmas season, and so forth, Halloween, all that. All that stuff. And Jesus is encountering that with a feast season. There's three feast seasons in the Bible that are celebrated. And this one that he's going to be engaging in is called the Festival of Booths, where they celebrate and recognize and remember the time they were in the desert and God's provision. So we're going to talk about some things, some of the superficial things that come about this time of year, especially the believing unbelievers will cling on to that and want to, and that's all they have, a Christmas tree or something of that nature, and that's what it's all about. It's a superficial type of thing, and so we're going to talk about that, but not in a context to dismiss the beauty of God's gift to mankind, but also that this is not where, these things are not where we're to put our tent stakes in. The lights and the hoopla that come with us and all of that, that's not where we base our belief in. That isn't the foundation. It's an inch deep and a mile wide, that kind of stuff. So we're going to be talking about that season that's upon us because that's what we're encountering in John chapter 7. The believing unbelievers are trying to push Jesus into this feast, and they're pushing him up, and this is his own brothers, his own family, betraying him and wanting him to be exposed like Joseph. We're going to talk about that, so be prepared. It's a tough teaching coming up. It's a tough teaching, and some of the things you might be holding on to are some things that God might want you to let go of, if that is where you're getting your approval from, if that's where your basis of faith is. It's that one time a year where we kind of conjure up something through the glimmer and glance of man. So it's going to get rough a little bit in the teaching next week, and some of the things, some things will be exposed. So come with that in mind and reading ahead too. Be prepared for that. Read ahead, please, chapter 7, and we'll address some things. I'm here to be grumpy. I'm here to for you to fall in love with Jesus. And because that's there is nothing that replaces it. If you're clinging on to an old crusty piece of bread, then I want you to let go of that. I want you to hold on to the living true bread If you're holding on to something that isn't real, I'm going to encourage you and do everything in my strength to encourage you to grab a hold of the living bread, the real Jesus. So I look to do that. I want to represent him real and honestly before you. So I'll be in prayer of that, especially next week. We're surrounded with a world and a community, especially in a rich nation of the believing, unbelieving. And so don't fall into their trappings. Oh, praise God. Prepare for that. Come prepared. Come loving the Lord. That's the best thing you could do to prepare is love the Lord the whole week with your heart, mind, and soul. Be completely yielded over to him. Allow the Lord to interrupt your program. Allow the Lord to interrupt your process. And be vulnerable to him. Don't be afraid to totally cry and melt down before him and break down. Man, they did it all through Psalms. Why do you think it's strange? You don't have to be intellectual. You don't have to just sit there and pretend that you're talking to a school teacher. You're talking to the living God who loves you and died for you. You can cry. You can fall apart right before him. You can give your whole life to him. Let's do that. Let's just do that together now. Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that you are the true living bread from heaven. We want to step into what Peter said right now, Lord Jesus Christ, and recognize that you have the eternal life. Your very words are life to us. Lord God, we want to follow you. Lord Jesus Christ, I look forward to denying the things that are holding me back, holding on to those crummy crust of bread, Lord Jesus, that I thought was life. I want to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, with my whole heart, my whole mind. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for the blood that was shed for me. Thank you for taking all my sins and all my dirt and completely expunging it, exploded, it's gone, it's not there. Thank you, Jesus. How can I stand in such freedom? How can I stand, Lord God? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, just open our hearts to you and stretch open wide as we finish with one more song this morning. Amen.
The fear is being slain. Someone's got fear and it's being slain right now. Goliath is falling. Just receive that and walk in that reality. God is with you. As Asher spoke this morning, we'll finish up. God is with you. God is with you. Goliath is fallen. That fear is not going to control your life anymore.
Amen.
The head has been severed. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer, please come up. God is pouring out his fire from heaven. I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. God is more than willing to, and the clay vessels that are here are more than willing to participate and be instruments of God to help that be used by him. Thank you, Jesus. Enjoy the day. Beautiful one out there. Just give glory to God in all you do. Amen. Thank you.
Sure, did you?
Oh yeah, Chicago. Yeah. You still like the music?
Yeah, I came up in Barrington Springs, Michigan, which is kind of across the lake from Chicago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went to Mount Pleasant University Law School, so I used to go to Chicago and watch Michael Jordan kind of.
Wow.
Shooting music. Kevin, here's a place.
Thank you.
How long has it been here?
The church has been about 9 or 10 years now. We were meeting in different people's houses at first, and then finally got this. But by 7 years ago, we're running this building here. My son-in-law and my daughter own the building, actually. So
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of apartments upstairs.
Oh, that's very nice.
Thank you very much for being here.
God bless you, man.
This is nice for me.
Thank you. Praise God.
See you later, Paul.
Thank you. Take care, Tia. All right.
All my way through.